Hi, love. This is Dawn, and you're listening to Dear Divorce Diary with my coach, Dawn, where we explore the post-divorce life and you, the woman who lives it. We cover everything from trauma during and after divorce to feeling like a stranger in your own life and the new frontier of life as a single woman. Cozy in for the conversations you've been longing to have about this new life. Hi, love. Today, we are going to talk about the subconscious parts of healing from divorce. We are going to dig into why the subconscious work is necessary, how to spot whether or not you need subconscious work or whether you've done enough subconscious work. We're going to dig into the benefits of doing it, right? And what your life and your relationships and dating processes and all the things could look like if you're doing subconscious work, and, you know, kind of better understand our layers of self and why this word or this phrase, subconscious work, is like all the rage. Because it is, right? Like, I think it's certainly trending in a lot of mental health conversations and social media and a lot of popular books and, you know, because it's super powerful. So let's talk about just how powerful it is. All right. For example, I had a client who was moving in the direction of divorce and was understandably grieving, confused, feeling rejected and unimportant and not worth it, right? They didn't want the divorce. Their partner wanted the divorce, couldn't understand why their partner wasn't willing to do the work to repair the marriage and to live happily ever after, right? Like, why is this person just choosing to end it rather than work on it with me? So, you know, after a couple of sessions of kind of getting the lay of the land and all the things, I said, okay, it's time to start treating, right? So let's do some EMDR. Let's get into the subconscious mind and let's see what's going on in there. What's making you tick? What led you to pick this partner in the first place and heal those things from the subconscious mind? Now, that's the cool thing about EMDR. And I know I reference it a lot in here, right? But EMDR is the act of going in through the mind to a painful memory or experience, activating that painful memory or experience, and then processing it using a free association method. So meaning you just allow your mind to wander wherever it's going to go while I apply bilateral stimulation. In the origins of EMDR, that bilateral stimulation was left-right eye movement. The way that I do it now, especially virtually, typically I use a tapping noise. And that activates the subconscious parts of the mind that allow you to desensitize and reprocess those negative beliefs and negative painful experiences. And then we go in and we reinforce positive beliefs. And then before you know it, you actually have a different mental and emotional experience of those old memories. And you probably are now functioning from a positive belief rather than a negative one. Okay, so back to the client. We get in there using EMDR and we start to work on reprocessing the fact that her partner no longer wants to be married to her. And so by encouraging her to free associate and finding other moments in time in her life where she felt similar types of rejection, she came up with two very poignant experiences. And one was in her younger life being benched for the majority of her volleyball career, even though she had a natural talent for it, but often got benched in lieu of the coach's child playing. And then when my client would get up to play, if she made a mistake, she quickly got pulled out, right? And so what got internalized there? I'm not good enough. And rather than the coach coaching her through and creating a stronger player, right, got it in her, this subconscious belief that she's not good enough, that she should have known better, she should have done better, she should have worked harder, she should have been perfect, and that she couldn't be herself. And so then fast forward a few years, when she's a teenager, her parents adopt an adolescent girl, and she ends up feeling like that girl got the majority of their attention and she took a back seat, and ended up internalizing the belief again that she's not worth it and she doesn't matter as much. And so then, you know, in her subconscious memory networks, where we get to is that this is how she ended up in this particular relationship with a partner who often offloaded a lot of life's responsibilities onto her, often offloaded a lot of the mental emotional responsibilities onto her within the relationship, had low tolerance for resolving conflict or, you know, having uncomfortable conversations, was not willing to do their own subconscious work or take responsibility for, you know, the vulnerabilities that they brought into the relationship, and often blamed my client for not getting their way and that kind of thing, right? And so that's not to say that their partner was a bad person. No way, no how. That's not it, right? But it's like, oh, look at that. She, from a subconscious place, based on negative beliefs about herself, picked a partner that reinforced those internalized negative beliefs that she's not good enough, there's something wrong with her, she's not worth it, and that she should have done better and she needs to be perfect. P.S. I know many of you are going to relate to this, but she is someone who smiles while she's in pain. Like, just always is smiling, 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 smiling. I cannot relate. I am someone who you always know what I'm thinking and feeling based on my face. And so this is a beautiful example of how, so now that with one EMDR session, just one, I'm not saying the target, we call it a target, that painful memory or experience, right, is completely clear, because it's not. We didn't spend enough time reinforcing positive beliefs. We really only got to be able to desensitize and reprocess the negative beliefs and kind of connect all those dots of how we got here, right? So then it is so important to go back in and reinforce the positive beliefs. I am good enough. I am worth it, right? And that process is my favorite process in EMDR. So, but just by doing the one EMDR session, this person is guaranteed to attract from a very aligned place a different type of partner once she goes out and starts dating. Now, that's not going to be anytime soon, right? Because she's still grieving. But the other cool thing about doing EMDR as part of a recovery process or any of the subconscious work, EMDR is one way to do subconscious work, is that we get to be reassured that this process doesn't become a trauma. Right? Because we get in there and we do the desensitizing and the reprocessing. We help the subconscious mind understand where it is in space and time. And so very often the reason that divorce becomes a trauma is because there were already so many historical negative beliefs built up, stuck in your mental and emotional, physical craw, that then you add a divorce on top of it. And it's just reinforcing all of those negative beliefs that you already were carrying with you in your baggage. And so then it just kind of piles on and then gets encoded as a trauma along with those other traumas. So let's take a look at understanding the difference between illness and disease as it applies to the subconscious mind and the manifestation of trauma, anxiety, worry, depression, panic, nervous system dysregulation, all of the above, right? Okay, so any of us can have an illness. Illness is common. Illness is necessary. It is part of the design of being human. Illness is when we experience something that maybe temporarily bogs down the system, but then the body is able to work through it. The mind and the emotions are able to work through it. And, you know, within a matter of days or weeks, we recover from it, right? Let's call that illness. It could be a cold. It could be the flu. It could be I fell off my bike. What else could it be? That's something that's more like I got fired. You know, like illness, right? Like something, like an event that happens that bogs down the system and we have to recover from it. Okay. When we don't recover from illness in a timely manner and the symptoms of the illness become chronic, that's when we can now kind of classify it as disease. Okay. So whether we call that anxiety or depression or asthma, or in my case, you've heard me talk about cluster headaches or rheumatoid arthritis, the things that I've been recovering from using homeopathy this year, and obvi, like subconscious work for the last 2 decades. But when we have disease processes in our body, now here's where I'm going to say the big, bold thing that's going to make you go, what? Sorry if that was in your ear. When we have disease processes in our body, the root cause of those diseases, love, is negative beliefs. And I'm not saying anything new or revolutionary or revelatory here. I am saying something that has been repeated for centuries by much smarter people than me who, you know, are super tuned in, tapped in, turned on to all the things, right? So for instance, let's just take Deepak Chopra, right? He's like besties with Oprah. So it's like a familiar face, right? He is somebody who has talked at length about what we believe is what dictates how the body functions. We have books from folks like Gabor Mate, from Bessel van der Kolk. And I know you hear me say these names over and over again. Those two gentlemen are MDs who have really come to understand how what we believe is what exists in the mind body. We have Louise Hay, who passed away a couple of years ago, ahead of her time in many ways. She wrote so many books on affirmations, and she wrote the book You Can Heal Your Life. And she understood, was a huge proponent of the subconscious work, EFT tapping. She was a huge part of my divorce recovery journey. She had this beautiful book of affirmations, and I would sit at night, you know, when I was home alone, and I would draw with colored pencils. There's this beautiful art pieces in the book, and I would redraw them in my own way, and then I would hang them up around my apartment or around my office at work, and really helped me internalize positive beliefs about myself and my path and my journey when I was in that dark space, right? Because people like her, people like Wayne Dyer, who teach us that positive thought truly has the power to move the needle, those are the people that I want to lean into, be inspired by, be called forward towards when my mind is offering me negative thoughts, when my emotions are offering me pain, when my body feels like it's suffering, when I'm in a disease process, I can know there is something negative activated in there. Now let's dig a little deeper than that. Last week on Instagram stories, I was talking about a concept that at our core, we are vibrational beings. Now, again, this is nothing new or revolutionary that I'm saying. It's something that we are able to validate through science these days. It's something that spiritual practitioners have been able to talk about, again, for centuries, that we can now see it in science. We now know with quantum mechanics, we've been able to nail down what entangled particles look like, and they're calling that the God particle or whatnot, right? Like, we can see these things in science now. But at our core, we're vibrational beings. We could call that a soul. We could call it our essence. We could call it, you know, embodiment of God within, like however you want to think of that, right? But at our core, vibrational. Out from there, physical. Out from there, emotional. And out from there, mental. Now, so often we focus on the mental realm. If we're lucky, we focus on the mental emotional realm, right? But most of what we do in life, coming and going, scrolling, chatting, going to work, coming home, parenting, loving, you name it, we're like primarily functioning in the mental realm. For those of us that have a faith practice and we go to church, right, we're acknowledging that there is something deeper and something more mystical within. But oftentimes, for many of us, our faith practices really are limited to the mental realm. And I want you to really think about that. And I may be saying something that really pisses you off right now, but our difficulty internalizing our faith, meaning we can think rationally about the spiritual texts that we study, the spiritual practices that we study, but when they don't stick, right? Because when they don't last, It's because they have not penetrated into the emotional, physical, or vibrational core of us. And so, Dawn, how do you know that that's true, right? Like, what if this is just normal? What if this is just what it is to be human, right? Is to struggle to internalize faith practices, to, because, I go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, you have an autoimmune disease. The body sometimes fights itself. Like, your body forgot how to deal with inflammation, Dawn. You have, rheumatoid arthritis. Well, we don't know what causes cluster headaches, but we do know those hypothalamic involvement and the trigeminal nerve is involved, but we don't know what causes it. But maybe there's a hormonal component, but maybe, right? Like, but we don't know, right? Okay. But our forefathers and mothers knew that whether it's worry, whether it's anxiety, depression, panic, cluster headaches, rheumatoid arthritis, that at the core of that is a host of negative beliefs, such as, I am not safe. I am not good enough. I am not worthwhile. I cannot have what I want. I am trapped. I am helpless. I cannot trust. I cannot be myself. These are the negative beliefs that not only do we carry around with us, but we inherited from previous generations. And so it's important to understand that I am not saying to you, love, your depression is in your mind, because that is not it. It is in every level of your being, right? A negative belief affects our vibrational core. It affects our physical body. It affects our emotional selves and our minds. And so it is not cute for someone to suggest that you snap out of it, because when we have chronic negative beliefs, they create chronic disease patterns at a cellular level. And I think for most of us, if we knew how to shift our negative beliefs into positive ones, well, two things about that. We do know how to shift our negative beliefs into positive ones. It's practice positive beliefs consistently, right? That's the answer. But many of us struggle to accept that that is that is truth. And a lot of that is because we've been told from so many places that that's not truth, right? Like, I do think that we find that truth in scripture, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication. I think we will see that in a lot of religious texts. I think we will see it in a lot of the gurus' writings. We don't see it in Western medicine, right? We go to Western medicine and we say, doc, I'm hurting. Something's wrong. I am sick. And there's a prescription. And the prescription suppresses the mental emotional process, whether it's an antidepressant. Don't come for me. I am not anti-medication. Don't come for me. Medication was something I relied heavy upon for decades until I found deeper solutions, right? But we go to a Western practitioner and they provide a suppressive medication on occasion, right, where we have an illness that needs an antibiotic or an illness that needs, or a break, a bone break that needs to be set or casted, right? And so when we get prescriptions for chronic disease, we're just suppressing symptoms and getting further from the truth, okay? So wouldn't it be sexy if we went to a doctor and a doctor said, well, at the core of your disease process is a negative belief. So your number one prescription is to get to the root of that negative belief and switch it. And in the meantime, while you're doing all of these things that they then prescribed as tools for healing the disease, you're going to use this one actual pharmaceutical prescription just to bridge the gap until you can get truly well using these tools. Wouldn't that be super sexy? But that's not how it goes. And so we have been taught that we have to go to doctors for our wellness, when the truth is, for a very, very, very long time, we went to healers for our illnesses, and healers taught us about how our faith and our minds were affecting disease. I'm not talking about illness, right? If we think about the course of human history, yes, there is illness that killed us, right? Especially when we think about, oh, I'm going to get on a tangent. When we think about globalization, right? And when we started trade routes in globalized ways, how diseases crossed oceans and they decimated entire populations because our immune systems were not prepared for those particular things, right? And so foodborne illness, like, gosh, antibiotics, game changer, right? Okay, I am not by any means minimizing the value of Western medicine, but what I am saying is that in order to heal from disease, we have to get to the root of our subconscious mind and our negative beliefs. Now, I historically have had cluster headaches, and in the last year and a half, rheumatoid arthritis. I no longer have either of those things. That is because I found homeopathy, which gets at the core of our vibrational being. It's energy medicine that then, along with unhooking the disease process from my body, allowed the negative beliefs that I was carrying below at a level of my subconscious mind I could not even access. And I no longer move through life feeling inherently afraid. I still have fear. I still get afraid. If you follow me on Instagram, you hear me talk about the times where I experience fear or bouts of panic or those things. But they're more like illness, right? It's like I caught a thought, a negative thought, and it like rooted itself a little bit and I had to take some steps to get it out. But it's not, doesn't like live in me like I'm chronically afraid that I'm not safe anymore. And I know you know what I mean, because it's like this little low hum in the mind body, right? That just feels a bit defensive, a bit worried, a bit anxious, a bit edgy, right? A bit prone to nervous system dysregulation. And so I really, really, really want you to take away from today's conversation that we are vibrational beings with a physical body, an emotional and a mental layer, and that more often than not, we are attempting to heal from divorce, from relationship dysfunction, and we are attempting to attract new partners via dating and whatnot from the mental layer. Maybe we're trying to attract partners from the physical layer, right? We want to look really physically attractive. But a lot of that goes back to the mind, because the mind focuses on how we look more than how we feel physically and emotionally or vibrationally, right? And so, love, for you to truly not repeat your past experiences. I'm not even going to call them mistakes. I don't even believe in mistakes. If you do not want to repeat your past experiences in relationship, and you want to have a more delicious dating experience, a more delicious sexual experience, and you want to have a more sustainable, secure feeling, hot and heavy relationship experience, then love, you gotta get into the subconscious work. And that doesn't mean you have to have a lot of money. Brad Yates' tapping videos on YouTube are free. The Tapping Solution app is free at its most basic layer. When I advocate for the Post-Divorce Roadmap immersive journaling program, we do so much subconscious, somatic healing, nervous system regulation. There are homeopathic recommendations in there. That is $33.33. There is so much you could do. You could do the loneliness roadmap. You could download that for my email subscribers completely free. That is 100% subconscious work right there, where I am guiding you through subconscious work to address loneliness. And you might have heard me talk about before that loneliness is really just a symptom of, I have spent so much time looking outside of myself for solutions to my internal discomfort. That's what loneliness is flagging you about. That idea that we have been taught that to feel better, I need something outside of me. So when you're feeling lonely, that's just a clue really that you gotta look inside and use a tool to get into that subconscious mind, find that negative belief and switch it to a positive one. So it's like, it takes effort, right? It takes effort. And the efforting creates freaking magical results. But I want you to hear that anywhere you're feeling chronically unwell means that you have subconscious work to do. And I don't mean you got a cold and you cleared it. I mean chronically worried, chronically afraid, chronically angry, chronically anxious, chronically depressed. Yes, you are grieving. Grief and depression are not the same. They're correlated, right? But depression is like grief gone wonky. So grief would be something closer to illness than disease. When grief persists all day, every day for so long, that's no longer illness, that's disease. And so if you're feeling chronic discomfort, there's subconscious work to do. And you cannot just think yourself out of it, because negative beliefs do create cellular dysfunction in the body and energetic disturbance at the energetic core. So this isn't like, just change your mind. Yeah, yes, it is change your mind, right? Yes, you have to change your mind. But also you have to be consistent enough and go deep enough that changing your mind can also change your cellular processes at the body, that you also do the work to shift your, to tip up on the vibrational scale, right? So, love. Ooh, I believe in you. I believe in you more than doctors, lawyers, and most therapists believe in you, because I know you can implement these solutions, whether or not you hire a freaking expensive therapist to guide you through it or not, right? I went to yoga this morning. I went back to a studio for the first time in probably a year. I just got like the little clue from the universe this morning that I was supposed to go to yoga, so that's what I did. And I'm so blessed to live a life that have crafted a life for myself, to have manifested a life where I have the autonomy to do that. And holy crap, in a 1 hour class, I got more grounded than I have been in any therapy session. So it's like, you don't have to be wealthy to do this beautiful work. You don't have to be brilliant or special. You just have to be willing to show up and do it. And will you need a little bit of guidance here or there, or someone pointing out to you maybe where you have a blind spot, or maybe give you a pep talk when you don't feel motivated to do it? Sure, right? Yeah, me too. You know, there's so many people I have relied upon to give me those little pushes and to give me that guidance. And at the end of the day, like, I spend a lot of money on coaches and healers and people to teach me. That's the difference, right? I don't hire healers and coaches to do it for me. I hire them to teach me, to hold me accountable. Because when we pay attention, right? When we pay attention. And so too often, I think we just kind of abdicate responsibility for our own well-being. And we say, there must be some other reason that I'm not getting well, or somebody else has it better than I do. But the reality is no, that we are as well as we intend to be. We are as well as we effort ourselves to be. And it doesn't have to be hard in the sense that it has to be suffering or painful, right? It can sometimes feel like illness feels like, I'm depleted and I'm working through something, sure. But it doesn't have to be long-term suffering. It doesn't have to be long-term hard, right? I had a beautiful experience in yoga today. And for probably the first time ever, I found myself smiling through the process. Because even when I would like fall out of a pose or whatever, I was like, oh, hello, ego, like, you cute little friend of mine that, you know, wants to have an opinion about this, and just kind of felt light about it. So it was cool to come back to my mat in a class and be able to see my own progress, right? That was very, very cool. So even though I've been off the mat in a studio format for a long time, doesn't mean that I haven't been making progress. And those little moments are just delicious, right? To be able to see ourselves and validate ourselves. So here's your call, right? Pick a subconscious tool and use it every day this week, and watch yourself shift. Don't give up, because giving up is when you're doing self-abandonment. And self-abandonment and abandonment is what you're pissed off at your ex for. Abandonment is what you want to blame other people for, right? Notice that as often as you abandon yourself is as often as you have the opportunity to switch your entire internal disease process at every level. I love you so much. I believe in you so much. Peace.
Dear Divorce Diary is a podcast by My Coach Dawn. You can find more at mycoachdawn.com.